Karen Tallien for governor. The Democrats head toward a contested primary. Marlon Stutzman for U.S. Senate. How big will the GOP field get? Bob Thomas threatens to challenge Mike Pence, the governor in China, and efforts to ditch the honest-to-goodness Indiana slogan. That plus Deflategate penalties and more on Indiana Week in Review for the week ending May 15, 2015.
Programming is made possible by Ice Miller. Ice Miller, with a 100-year tradition of learning what is important to clients and strategizing with them toward a common goal. Today, Ice Miller continues its commitment to help clients build, grow, and protect their interests. More at icemiller.com.
AT&T, working to enhance connectivity in Indiana by investing in communication networks. Dedicated to helping Hoosier businesses grow and consumers succeed both at home and at work. AT&T. Rethink possible.
This week, Karen Tallien kicked off a campaign for governor. She's a Democrat, motivated by RFRA, GOP attacks on the Department of Education, and the repeal of the Common Construction Wage. But in a State House announcement, the three-term state senator said she decided to run for governor 2 years ago. She declined to say anything critical about fellow Democrats John Gregg or Glenda Ritz, and she made no effort to avoid her support of more lenient marijuana laws. Tallien supports both decriminalization and the legalization of medical marijuana.
I don't believe that anybody should be going to jail because they've smoked pot. I just don't believe that. If they have a problem, then it's a health problem and not a criminal justice problem. No, people from all over the state that medical marijuana resonates. And there's no reason why we can't give a dying person anything they want.
Is Karen Tallien a credible candidate? It's the first question for our Indiana Week in Review panel. Democrat Ann Delaney, Republican Mike McDaniel, Amber Stearns, news editor at Nouveau News Weekly, and John Ketzenberger, president of the Indiana Fiscal Policy Institute. I'm Wish TV State House reporter Jim Shella. Mike McDaniel, what are the chances that Karen Tallien will be the Democratic nominee?
I think she's a very credible candidate. She's very smart. She's been elected three times to the state Senate, hardworking. She's an honest-to-goodness liberal, I mean, in the true sense of the word.
Probably. Calls herself a progressive.
All the liberals call themselves progressives, but she's probably one of the two or three most liberal people in the whole legislature, but she doesn't run from that. I mean, that's what she is, and that's what she said, and I respect that. So she'll be a credible candidate, and clearly this will be a contrast to John Gregg. I mean, she's from the Democratic wing of the Democratic Party, if you will, as opposed to the more moderate wing of the Democratic Party. But her problem, I think, is going to be, since she's only run in that particular Senate district, is trying to raise the money you got to raise to become known, and name ID is a huge problem, and name ID costs money. So that's going to be the thing that she's got to concentrate on the most to be credible, to be competitive with John Gregg.
She's got a low name ID statewide. She's also from Northwest Indiana. Is that a drawback?
What? No, it's not a drawback. And Mike's right. She's a very hardworking, very intelligent, very articulate candidate, no question about it. And I think, you know, we may see more. There's a sense out there that Mike Pence is vulnerable, in a sense that wasn't there even a year ago. And it's clear now that people are sick of his Tea Party agenda and want to change. And, it could wind up being a referendum on Mike Pence, just like can happen before.
But to get to a referendum on Mike Pence, you don't want a crowded primary, do you?
Well, we don't know that it's going to be a crowded primary yet. You know, I mean, it's a full year away. So let's just wait and see how this all shakes out.
Does this keep Glenda Ritz out of the race, do you think?
No, I think she'll go on her own schedule, her own, you know, whatever her calculation is. I do like that Karen Tallien is like Mike said, not afraid to say what she thinks and what she believes. It's refreshing to have a politician who is willing to do that and say that. I do agree that the field will be bigger, and I do think that Glenda Ritz may be part of that field. But I don't think it hurts to have a large primary, especially for people who have low name ID. It gives them a chance to get some earned media, and they're not going to spread their resources so thin that, they won't be able to re-up for the fall.
How will her support of lenient marijuana laws play statewide?
I think it'll play statewide fairly well. It hasn't put her back so far. She's been talking about marijuana, whether it's medical marijuana or regular marijuana decriminalization, for a long time, and her numbers continue to go up. She's still popular in her neck of the woods, so I don't think it's going to hurt her at all.
And, you know, other states have adopted it. It's not like this is some, you know, we're on the cutting edge of this. The problem is we have too many people in prison in this state and in this country, and we have to start looking at creative ways to avoid that. And it seems to me something like this, which doesn't necessarily, have to involve crime at all, is a way to start.
I disagree on that issue. I think that won't play well. I think she's going to have problems not only with the general public at large, but also with people like the Prosecutors Association and some others who will
She's
come
been
out.
Unable to get a hearing for these proposals.
I know, and that's my point. She's been working in a minority. It might be easy to put a bill in front of people, but, you know, it's hard to get it passed, and she was nowhere near doing that. So I just don't see that issue playing well for her. But, again, I think she's articulate, as Ann said. I think she is that, and she will be a fighter, and she will make it interesting for John Gregg in this primary.
Republican Congressman Marlon Stutzman is running for the U.S. Senate just as he did in 2010. He'll give up a seat in Congress this time. There are now two Republicans running in the 2016 race for U.S. Senate. Congressman Stutzman made his formal announcement in Roanoke, Indiana, in the northeast corner of the state. He joins former state GOP chairman Eric Holcomb in the race. A spokesman for Holcomb welcomed Stutzman and pointed out that the two are longtime friends. Stutzman made appearances on Indianapolis TV this week where he said he plans a positive campaign and, for reference, pointed to what he did in 2010.
We didn't run a negative campaign on anyone because we felt it was more important to talk about those important issues that are facing our country. $18 trillion of debt today, an economy that's very slow, and then the national security issues that face our country as well.
Ann Delaney, is Stutzman the Tea Party candidate in that race?
At the moment, there's no question about that. I mean, that doesn't mean he'll be the only Tea Party candidate in that race, since the Republicans have a lot of those. But he clearly is now, and given that, and given the dynamic of the Republican primary in a race between him and Holcomb, I wouldn't count him out by any means. Well, I mean, he has the potential to do a Murdoch. We know that. I mean, he says things sometimes that you just shake your head and say,
Murdoch's,
how did he ever graduate
from grade
school?
Murdoch kind of stands alone, doesn't he, on that,
no,
in that regard?
That comment he made about shutting the government down and we're going to get something out of it, I don't even know what we're going to get or what we should get, but we're going to get something. I mean, how...
That's a Stutzman comment.
That's a Stutzman
comment. Okay. Will it be Holcomb versus Stutzman? Is Todd Young going to get in this?
I think you're going to see more candidates get in this one. I think Todd Young will get in it. And potentially Jim Merritt is still looking at it. I talked to Jim today. He's looking at the thing. You know, you could end up with four.
Mike Delf's looking
Mike
at
Delf
it.
Mike Delf is traveling the state right
There's
now.
There's your other Tea Party
candidate. So you get a situation where you get... And Marlon Stutzman, I will tell you this, is one of the hardest working guys you'll ever meet, especially when it comes to campaign mode. And so it's going to be a very competitive primary. And Eric's been out working it hard. So I think the biggest thing going right now is people are waiting to see what Todd Young does, because Todd Young is sitting on about $1.4 million in his campaign war chest, and that's dwarfs what everybody else has. And so if he gets in it, he's going to be quite a competitive
candidate.
He's
got a reputation as a pretty good campaigner. All right, on the Democratic side, there's widespread reporting that Barron Hill has announced that he's a candidate in 2016. He gave a speech in Columbus where he said he intends to be the candidate, but he's still waiting to make a formal announcement. Does that matter?
I don't think it matters. I think everybody already knows that he's going to run as the Democratic candidate for U.S. Senate, and I don't think he's going to be the only one either.
You don't think he'll be the only one?
No.
Who else?
There's rumors that Christina Hale is considering running.
She's looking at it pretty strongly, yeah.
Okay. But he's the most formidable out there. I mean, the other talk is about Evan Bayh.
You know, that's the thing that's interesting. I don't see Evan Bayh as the candidate, but until he says definitively that he's not, it kind of freezes the field since he's sitting on, you talk about resources, Mike, he's sitting on resources.
9.9 million.
Yeah, five times what we're talking about with Todd Young. So, you know, I think Christina Hale would make a very formidable candidate, and really kind of the same virtue that you were talking about with Susan Brooks when she was considering right. it from the Republican side. They're both very good campaigners. They both can work really hard, and I think they fit the profile for the state. Mm-hmm. So I think that could be a very interesting race between Barron Hill, who's been around the block many times, and Christina Hale, who's not.
Well, your point about going around the block many times is the key there. I mean, in Barron Hill's case, I mean, he knows how to campaign. He's done it. He's campaigned statewide. He's done
well.
All the stuff. And he's been pretty competitive. Now, Christina, I also agree that she is a very capable person, but this is all new to her, and this is a big state, and going out and raising that money is problematic. And, so those are things you got to overcome.
But she's going to have appeal to a lot of national groups that will help her with the fundraising.
I think there is truth to that.
But you also want to avoid a contested primary there, don't you?
You know, all state chairs want to avoid contested primaries. So does Eric Holcomb. I mean, he can welcome whoever he wants in that race. He'd rather have nobody in that race.
I'd like to pick our ticket, and you'd like to
pick it. Pick it too. But where we are a year ahead doesn't mean where we're going to be when push comes to shove on this. And would I like to have good candidates for both offices without opposition? Absolutely. I'd like to win them both, too.
All right. Fort Wayne car dealer Bob Thomas, a one-time congressional candidate, says he will run again in 2016, but isn't sure which office he will seek. It could be Stutzman's congressional seat, or it could be governor.
My eyes are on the governor's race. I said that Pence will not be our governor for a second term. I think that if he runs, he will be defeated. If Pence runs, I'm going to run against him.
Okay. So if
that would be the ideal.
John Katzenberger, should we take Bob Thomas seriously?
I love the way he phrased that. If Pence runs, I'll run against him. Well, you know, he is the incumbent governor.
Yeah. He also predicted that if Pence runs, he'll be defeated.
Well, he's entitled to his opinion, and it would be fascinating to watch a race between Bob Thomas and Mike Pence. That would be kind of fun. I think it's more likely that if he's going to run, he's going to run in the 3rd District, you know, and kind of gum that up a little bit. And it'll be interesting because he lives in Carmel, even though he has such a big presence in Fort Wayne. So who knows? He's going to throw a wild card into this. That's kind of fun.
Well, if you're the Pence people, whether this guy runs or not, you have to be bothered by the fact that you have party Republicans out there saying that your guy's going to lose.
The Pence campaign is probably bothered by a lot of things that are happening right now because their image is tarnished, just like the rest of the state has been tarnished by the whole RFRA ordeal. But I don't think that he's taking Bob seriously. There may be others that, if the others in the GOP have their sights on him, I mean, the former CEO of Angie's List, you know, whether or not he's running or gunning for somebody else, Pence probably has his eyes looking within his own party to see who might have the target on his back, but I don't think Bob Thomas is a threat.
Okay, so Bob Thomas says he might run in the 3rd, but that's getting to be crowded. Liz Brown's running, Jim Banks is running. Has Kip Thom announced? He's looking at it. A lot of Republicans.
Travis Holdman.
Travis
looking
Holdman.
At it. Banks is
right.
in.
Right.
It's already announced. So that
so
could be a
Liz
crowded
Brown.
Field.
Yeah.
But I don't know Bob Thomas. I really haven't. I don't think I've ever met him. I get a little nervous about folks who have what I call the red lobster syndrome. You know, I'll take the first available whatever table comes up.
Well, he says
the governor's race or the Congress or whatever.
Maybe
so
Senate.
I get,
Maybe
you know, either you, if you're really focused and you've got it in your gut to go for one of these offices, you got to know what it is and you got to get focused and get going on it, you know. And you can't wait until July and August and you know, well, hem-haw around until you do that kind of stuff. Now, he may be a great candidate. I don't know.
Can
you
he self-finance?
He can probably pay for a lot of his own primary.
He spent a lot of money on his congressional race in 2010.
But, well,
you know,
maybe he doesn't have to wait as long as you
until you know more about who he is and what he is and how serious he is about what office it is that he wants to run for, then you start paying more attention.
I'm not sure. He called a news conference in Fort Wayne in order to make those comments. I'm not sure I've ever seen anybody call a news conference to say that I'm going to run, but I don't know what for.
But didn't you love the fact they did it at his car dealership? The guy's not...
I love that idea. He was wearing the shirt that said Bob Thomas Ford.
You know, so he's a smart guy. He really is.
He has to take the offer back to his manager, though, and see if he can get the price. He'll work hard for you.
He's got to worry about the financing, too.
Yeah. Right. Ooh, no rebates. You got to enjoy this.
Oh, I think if we get Todd Young in, and the more the merrier. What about Rokita? I think he ought to jump in too. It ought to be a great opportunity for him to advance.
All right, moving on. Governor Mike Pence conducted a trade mission to China this week, and he's defending the visit, even though he criticized President Obama for a similar trip in 2009. In a speech to a dinner sponsored by the American Spectator magazine, he said this: "Where is President Obama this week? In China, visiting our money and being lectured on monetary policy by communist dictators." Pence met with high-level government officials earlier this week and says that the trade mission is an important opportunity to help expand the Indiana economy. In a phone interview, I asked what's different now.
I don't recall that speech precisely, Jim, and I don't, I think that to the extent that I remember it, it was at a time when our economy was struggling, and if memory serves, I was thinking the president ought to focus a little bit more on the domestic economy.
Amber Stearns, what's different now?
He's the governor now. Before, he was a legislator. It's a lot easier to throw stones when you're on the legislative side than when you're in an executive seat. So that's what's different.
And it makes sense for him to be going to China now.
As it did for Obama to be going to China then.
I mean, the lesson that Amber points out here is one he's been learning over and over again here of late.
It's true. You can be haunted by the comments that you've made before. Amber's point is well made about it's easier when you're a member of Congress or a member of the legislature to make those kinds of charges against the person who's the executive. And I'm glad that he has decided that it's important to make this trip as the executive. He's catching the flack for it, but it's important that the state have these ties with China, that they strengthen them at every opportunity, and so hopefully he'll have success, but he's paying the price for what he said before.
And the state's ties to China go back to 1975 when Cummins built a plant there. In 1987, Governor Bob Orr created a sister state relationship with Zhejiang province. Things really aren't any different now than they were in 2009.
No, of course they're not. I mean, what did Rex Early always said? There was hypocrisy and hypocrisy. This is hypocrisy. When he was the Tea Party darling and he was able to throw those bombs in Congress, shut the government down, do all of these things. The problem is that he doesn't completely leave his ideology behind, or hasn't, when he became the executive. And it shows itself. It shows itself in the RFRA. It showed itself in the preschool. It showed itself in the delay in introducing Obamacare in Indiana. And all of those things have cost the state. They've cost the state dearly monetarily and in terms of our image, all because he was and made his career as the Tea Party darling.
Is it unfair to be bringing up these old comments?
Yes. And the reason I say that is because if you go back and look at that speech, which I did, it was about the economy at the time. The economy in the United States, we had 10.4% unemployment. And the aim of his speech at that time was that he ought to be here looking at domestic economic problems. That's what he was talking about in that speech. And the Obama trip at that particular time was about international diplomacy, about North Korea and their threat to that part of the world. Defense reasons. So, you know, it's apples and dump trucks, and there is a difference between being in Congress and being governor, and he's right where he ought to be right now and doing the kinds of things he's doing. China's our fifth biggest export partner.
Right.
$1.4 billion goes to that country from Indiana companies every year. I mean, this is the biggest potential market in the world. And we ought to have a presence there, and that's why he's there, and he's doing what he ought to be doing.
But can't you have international relations, diplomacy conversations, and talk about the economy at the same time?
Yeah, you can.
Well, did you say that the president didn't do that?
Right. Did he?
Well, you know, what's,
he talked about North Korea and he talked about Russia on that trip. That was what
you
the
know,
whole emphasis
may was. May have been lost on Mike Pence, but China is still controlled by communists. And I bet you there was some monetary policy discussion in that, too. So, you know, the problem is if what he should have done, if he was going to be big about it, is put his tongue firmly in his cheek and say, that was then and this is now. And he can't do it because the ideology he has creeps into everything.
Moving on. Indiana tourism officials may scrap a new state slogan because of the RFRA controversy. Officials unveiled Honest to Goodness Indiana last year. A New York public relations firm will now take a look at it as part of a $2 million review of the impact of RFRA. Tourism officials say despite a RFRA fix, booking for events in this state are dropping. Some critics say controversy over the bill makes the phrase sound hollow. And Delaney, are the days of Honest to Goodness Indiana numbered?
There's no question about it. We ought to have a slogan that says, Indiana, the home of the self-inflicted wound. That's all we've done with this, okay? And when you have something like that, which points out the dishonesty in the defense of RFRA, which is what it was dishonest. They were saying it wasn't about discrimination when, in fact, it was about discrimination. We should have fixed the entire thing instead of putting a Band-Aid over it. And now they've got that slogan on the state office building, Indiana, the state that works, okay, but only for the minimum wage, because we don't want to pay anybody a living wage.
Get all the talking points
right
in.
She got them all in. And ignore the fact regarding this question.
Well,
Honest to Goodness Indiana has to go. This company
has already started to research the Honest to Goodness slogan. And I've told them to keep using the honest to goodness slogan because it's working.
But part of what
they continue to look at this.
Tell me this.
Thing.
Part of what's going
advice.
On here.
So what they're saying is it's working. Okay. Keep using it, and if we need to adjust, we will. But right now, keep using
it's
it.
It's working. We're getting conventions turned down.
No,
people
we're not.
Aren't coming.
No, we're not. They're coming.
The head of the state fair, your head of the state fair, just announced we're not getting a conference
because they picked San Antonio instead of Indianapolis.
Because they picked RFRA
in February.
RFRA.
Let's see. Right. Which one would you go to in February, Indianapolis or San Antonio?
All right.
You'd probably go to San Antonio.
Part of what's at work here, I think, is that people in the tourism industry didn't like this slogan. And the RFRA controversy may be an excuse as much as a reason.
It's a perfect excuse. I thought it was a horrible slogan to begin with when they announced it over a year ago. So if you have the opportunity to change it, if the tourism industry, which is supposed to use it and promote it and have all of their promotions surrounding it, if they hate it, chuck it and go with something else.
Yeah. You don't need to pay $2 million for that.
Absolutely.
You give it for free.
Absolutely, with a cup of coffee. Yeah.
It's not helping our image in the meantime.
Well, come on. This whole thing has been nothing but trouble for everyone involved. I think that the idea of starting over and starting fresh is nice, but they have to stop the problem that they've had and stop the blood flow first. And I don't think we're there yet. It's not as simple as just changing the slogan. It's much deeper than that. And we'll see what happens and what exactly $2 million will buy.
Time now for viewer feedback. Each week we pose an unscientific online poll question in conjunction with our Ice Miller email and text alerts. This week's question, should honest to goodness be scrapped as a tourism phrase? Your choices are A, lickety-split, B, say it ain't so, or C, let me wander and ponder. Last week's question, should the municipal election be moved to the presidential year? 50% said yes, 25% said no, 25% said move it to the off year for congressional elections. If you'd like to take part in the poll, go to WFYI.org/IWIR and look for the poll. Finally, New England Patriots quarterback Tom Brady was suspended 4 games this week. It's for the scheme to deflate footballs in the AFC Championship game against the Colts that's become known as Deflategate. His first game back will be against, guess what, the Colts. And the mayor of Boston, Marty Walsh, says he and Massachusetts Governor Charlie Baker already have plans to be in Indianapolis.
I want to be at the game when Tom Brady plays against the Colts, the fifth game of the year.
With Governor Baker?
We're going to go down to Indianapolis and watch this game. It'll be interesting because Tom Brady's probably going to go for 6 touchdowns that game.
Mike McDaniel, are you looking forward to that game as the mayor of Boston is?
I absolutely looking forward to that game. And the prediction of Brady throwing 6 touchdowns, He might, but we'll get eight because of the offense that we're building in the offseason. I think that's the new strategy. But I'm also going to predict Jonathan Newsom will set a new sack record against
the Ball State guy. Why would you mention the Ball State guy?
Because he's going to be good job, Mike. I'm with you.
Does Brady's appeal get upheld by the commissioner?
Does his appeal get upheld? Does his sentence get upheld? Yes, it does.
Okay.
They don't have any choice.
$1 million against the Patriots. So is that that's high?
Well, it's a lot of money, but you know
compared
the franchise is worth $1.5 billion. So
more than that in a week. Yeah.
That's Indiana Week in Review for this week. Our panel is Democrat Ann Delaney, Republican Mike McDaniel, Amber Stern of Nouveau News Weekly, and John Ketzenberger of the Indiana Fiscal Policy Institute. If you'd like a podcast of this program, you can find it at WFYI.org/IWIR. Or starting Monday, you can stream it or get it on demand from Xfinity or Bright House Networks. I'm Jim Shello of Wish TV. We'll see you again next week.
Programming is made possible by Ice Miller. Ice Miller, with a 100-year tradition of learning what is important to clients and strategizing with them toward a common goal. Today, Ice Miller continues its commitment to help clients build, grow, and protect their interests. More at icemiller.com.
AT&T, working to enhance connectivity in Indiana by investing in communication networks. Dedicated to helping Hoosier businesses grow and consumers succeed both at home and at work. AT&T, rethink possible.